fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty Hi-Yo Silver, the Lone Ranger. His faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, big fellow. Hi-yo, Silver. Hi!
It was nearly morning as the Lone Ranger and Tonto raced through the back streets of Omaha. Not a soul was stirring. A clouded sky and a chill March wind added to the loneliness of the night. The masked man and his Indian companion rode in silence until they reined up in front of John Russell's home.
Oh, Silver, Come on.
Better wait here, Tonto. I won't be long. If John Russell's the man I think he is, he won't fail us.
Him good man.
The best freighter in the business. A friend, John.
I'm coming. It is. Hey, mister, I thought I recognized your voice.
Hello, John.
Come in.
Thanks.
You know, it's strange seeing you in Omaha. This is getting to be a big town now, and your mask. Well, I know you must have other friends besides myself here, but...
Paul and I wouldn't be here if it weren't important, John. We've ridden all the way from Denver since Monday.
Oh, but that's impossible. No, I take that back. Not for Silver and Scott. Why, though?
Because last Monday we rode into Denver for the first time this winter, and we found that it was a starvation camp.
Yes, I've heard something about it. Sit down, make yourself comfortable.
Well, thanks.
A few of the miners have come through here.
The ones who didn't strike gold. But those who have are just as unlucky. Yeah. They must stay there. It's a poor year for game. They aren't hunters anyway. Their canned goods are all gone. They're down to their last barrels of flour. If food doesn't reach them in a month, they'll starve.
A month? Why, it's only March, and my first train won't leave here for a month.
The lives of thousands are in your hands, John.
You're asking me to get food to them in a month?
Yes, I am.
Drive a freight train across the prairies just as the frost is getting out of the ground? We couldn't go 2 miles without bogging down. The creeks would be torrents. How can we cross them?
There's only one man in the West who can do the job. That's why I've come to you. You have plenty of supplies here in Omaha.
Yes, of course.
Your wagons are in good condition. You have plenty of men and oxen.
Yes, but...
I know the difficulties, John. The question is, will you take a chance on overcoming them?
You'll have to let me think. Figure ways and means.
If Denver's to be saved, it's up to you.
Yes. How many wagons?
25 at the least.
Well, from here to Kearney, it shouldn't be so bad, but... Afterwards, along the South Platte and into the mountains. What about the Indians?
You've freighted through Indian territory before.
Yes, and you've helped me through it. I tell you, mister, I'll take the job on one condition.
Oh, what's that?
That you and Tonto act as scouts for our train.
You can depend on us.
All right, then. You have my word. We'll start loading the wagons in the morning.
Good enough. Tonto and I will camp outside of town. We'll meet you at your first stop.
That will be in 3 days, mister. You have my word.
Early the following morning, John Russell called all his drivers together and told them about the conditions in Denver. Then...
And so, men, I made my decision. The wagons are in good condition. All we have to do is load them. We'll start the day after tomorrow.
Well, it's way too early in the year, John.
Boss, I'd like to say something.
Go ahead, Crosby.
This business is yours. You own the wagons, and it's your money that'll buy the supplies we freight.
Yeah?
But since I've always been your general manager, I figure it's up to me to speak for the boys.
What do you want to say?
We never start out before May. It isn't safe.
I didn't say it was. Are you afraid?
It won't do you any good to start now. You'll just take 2 months for the trip instead of one.
You can stay here if you want to. Bill Harvey.
Right here, boss.
You have any objections to making this trip?
I'm all for it.
Then you'll be my second in command.
Do you mean that?
Yes, Bill.
Well, now, wait a minute.
I know you've bought a tavern, Crosby. Go back to keeping it.
Oh, I want to stick with you, boss. I was only thinking of your interests, your money.
Money isn't the consideration on this trip.
Well, it should be. You're running a business. You got a big investment. Why should you lose it for a lot of mangy miners?
Because they're human beings and they're starving. They need our help.
Well, if that's the way you put it, then I'm with you. I'll sign on again.
You can manage the commissary.
Take orders from that squirt, Harvey?
Take them or leave them. Bill's my first lieutenant.
Well, that's the way it's got to be. I'll take charge of the commissary. At least one part of your train will run right.
You're hired, then. Now, how about the rest of you?
We're with you, boss.
You can count on me.
Let's go, John.
Good enough. Now, there's no doubt it'll be the hardest trip you've ever made. But I have some good news that I've saved till now.
What's that?
The Lone Ranger will meet us at our first camp outside.
Lone Ranger! That's the masked man with the big white horn. Right? Right. I met him once.
The Lone Ranger, the best scout in the West.
Sure he is.
He'll pick our trail, be our real leader. That means we'll get there, men. We'll get there in time to save Denver. All right. Now get back to work and load those wagons.
The men's spirits were high as the freight train rolled out of Omaha. But the great prairie stretched ahead, and only 5 miles were made that first day before John Russell gave the order to make camp.
We didn't do very well today, Bill.
A lot of the men had trouble with their oxen.
Yeah.
Most of them are half wild after the winter.
I know. They'll get used to the yoke again in a few days.
Almost wish the sun hadn't been so high.
We can't hold back the spring. The fall's sure to come in a week or two, and the ground's sure to get soft.
If we could only make the mountains before then.
We'll try.
What about the masked man, John? Weren't we supposed to meet him here?
Yes.
If he doesn't show up, the men are going to be awful disappointed.
He's never broken a promise yet. What's more, he isn't starting now. Look.
Where?
The big white stallion in the paint.
Is that him on the white horse?
That's him. Say, look, boys. Here they come. The Lone Ranger and Tonto.
Easy, fella.
You've kept your word, John.
We're on our way, all right.
How are you fixed for ammunition?
Plenty of it.
You may need it. I've had word that Red Fox has broken his winter camp and is riding north.
Comanches, though?
Yes, but there are hundreds of miles to cover before we have to worry about them.
Hey, what's that?
Let me stay with the train. I can drive a team just as good as any of your men.
Look at what I found in one of the wagons.
A boy.
I'm not a boy. I'm 18.
Tell the truth, son.
Well, I'm almost 18, mister. I'm 16.
When everybody started yelling the Lone Ranger was here, he stuck his head out, and that's when I caught him.
Well, we're only 5 miles from town. You better hit the trail for home, son.
I haven't got a home. Oh, please let me go with you. I got to find a job where I can earn my keep.
Can you ride?
Oh, sure I can.
We can't be bothered with kids. The train stretches out for a long way, John. It'd save you a lot of time if you had somebody to carry messages.
Yes. What do you think, masked man?
I say no.
It isn't a bad idea at all, John. He's husky enough to stand the trail.
All right, your hide, son. What's your name?
Buddy Travis. And thanks, mister. You won't be sorry. Sometime I'll find a way to pay you back. All of you.
The wagon train started out the next day with the Lone Ranger and John Russell riding at the head. 8 miles were covered before sunset. The next day it was 10, and then a steady average of 15 from dawn till dusk. The weather turned warm, the trail turned to mud, the streams were swollen by the spring rains, and still the men drove on. At last Fort Kearney was reached.
We're making camp here, man. Right and left into the big circle. Right and left.
Going to leave you for a few days, John. The time that Tonto and I found out more about Red Fox.
A few days? How many?
Oh, about three. Tonto scouted the trail for the next 50 miles, and there's no sign of Indians.
Then where are you going?
Farther south to find Red Fox's encampment.
Oh?
They're heading this way. You may have to cross the Platte and travel along the north bank to Sedgwick.
We'll lose time doing that.
Better to lose a little time than the lives of your men.
Yes, you're right there.
Good. Ready, Tonto?
Uh-huh.
Come on, Silver.
Get him up.
Well, so long.
Adios.
That night, Crosby made the rounds of the cafes in the town that surrounded the fort. He found the man he was looking for in the Pioneer Palace. A heavily bearded drifter who wore his two guns strapped low.
Hello, Hook.
Well, it isn't Crosby. I saw your outfit drive in this afternoon.
I didn't see you.
I didn't think you'd want to after all the brags you made last year. Aren't you the hombre who was going to be running the Russell outfit this year?
The year's just beginning.
Yeah. And you're taking orders from young Bill Harvey.
Never mind him. Are you still friendly with Red Fox?
Maybe.
I want to make a deal with him.
What sort of a deal?
I want him to attack the wagon train.
He won't have any part of it.
You haven't heard my proposition.
I'm not interested.
Why not?
Because there's a certain masked man who's riding with you. Red Fox is scared of him. So am I, for that matter.
He's left us, Hook.
You mean that?
Tonto's already scouted the trail ahead. And the two of them have ridden on to Denver.
Yeah. That changes things.
Yeah, I thought it would. How far away is Red Fox?
They're not too far. But as close as he'll come to Kearney.
I don't want him to attack here.
Where then?
About 30 miles to the west. That's where we'll be 2 days from now.
I don't know whether he will or not. Russell's men are good fighters. Red Fox is low on ammunition.
There's his chance to get more.
You said you had a proposition.
And I have. I want him to attack just before dawn.
It's not tomorrow, the next day, but the day after.
Right. Look, I'll be standing guard. The minute I see his braves, I'll guarantee to get rid of both Russell and Harvey.
Yeah?
That'll put me in command of the train. And my orders will be for the men to hold their fire.
Think they'll obey him?
Of course they will, with Russell gone.
Then what?
I'll parley with Red Fox. Give them all our guns and ammunition to let the train through.
Sounds all right. He isn't interested in your supplies. And you'll take the train on to Denver, sell everything, and pocket the money.
Sure.
What about me?
I'll give you $1,000.
It'll cost you two.
It's a deal.
Just one more thing. How do you expect to get rid of Russell and Harvey?
I want Red Fox to fire a few shots. My story to the men will be that those two mavericks were hit dead center.
The curtain falls on the first act of our Lone Ranger story. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments. Thank you. to continue our story. Just at dusk on the second day after Crosby had talked with Hook Martin, the Lone Ranger and Tonto reined up in a grove of trees on the side of a hill. Below them was the Comanche camp.
There they are, Kemosabe.
Ah.
Seems to be a fresh camp.
Not right.
We'll have to stay here for the night and find out if they're on the move or not.
Tonto not think them go north, Kemosabe. Comanche afraid a soldier.
There aren't many soldiers west of Kearney.
You look. Chief's teepee.
Yes, I see it.
That white man talked to Chief.
I believe you're right. I'll take a look at him through the binoculars.
Ah. You know him, maybe?
I've seen his face before. Where was it?
Kemosabe, Red Fox raise arm like this.
Yes. What does it mean?
It mean Comanche make war.
War? He's not going to attack Fort Kearney with only 200 men.
I mean them fight white men. You look. Him call braves.
They wouldn't have a chance against all the soldiers at the fort.
And build up fire. Pretty soon, make big war dance.
Otto, I remember where I saw that man.
And where that?
He was watching the wagon train driving to Kearney.
Oh, that band, Kemosabe.
And he's told Red Fox about it.
No, Tonto afraid so.
It's a wagon train they mean to attack. It's the only thing that makes sense. We're going to have to ride fast, Tonto. I'll warn Russell and you get word of the fort.
Tonto do that. Well, Silver, get him up to scout.
Young Buddy Travers stood guard during the early part of that night in the wagon train camp. But at midnight, Crosby relieved him.
All right, Sprout, you can go to bed now.
You mind if I stand guard with you?
What's the idea?
I don't know. I know I won't be able to sleep. I got a feeling something's going to happen tonight.
And so?
Hey, listen, somebody's riding this way.
I hear him.
Just one horse, isn't it?
Yeah.
This moon, we can make out who it is just as soon as he tops the rise. Maybe I better call Mr. Russell.
You keep your mouth shut. I got my rifle ready.
Well, now, take it easy.
I told you to shut up.
It might be the Lone Ranger, Tonto. Hey, it is that Silver.
Yeah, you're right.
Hey, Crosby, what are you doing? Put down that gun. You shot him. You shot the Lone Ranger.
Shut up, you little fool.
Crosby, what's wrong? No need for you to get out of your wagon, Bill. I just saw a coyote and took a pot shot at him.
You'll wake the camp. What's going on here?
Nothing at all. Go on back to sleep.
Lay off that shooting, will you? Give a man a start.
All right, all right.
I'll make you shut up.
Crosby wrapped Buddy over the head with the barrel of his rifle, and the boy went limp in his arms. Then he carried him to his own wagon, where he bound and gagged him and covered him with a tarpaulin. When he returned to his post, he could see Silver at the top of the rise about 100 yards away, but he was unable to make out the figure of the Lone Ranger.
No sound of him. Guess I must have finished him off. Like to make sure, but I can't risk another shot.
Crosby watched and waited. There was no movement on the ground where Silver stood guard. 2 hours passed, and he heard the hoofbeats of another horse. Once more, he was ready with his rifle, but he lowered it when he recognized the rider. It was Hook Martin. He waved him toward the wagons.
Oh, howdy. Well, they'll attack just before dawn.
Good.
But you'd better come with me and join them.
What for?
Because Red Fox has decided to get a few scalps.
No, I'll need the men to drive the wagons afterwards.
They won't feel much like it when the Indians get through with them.
But I told you
that. And I told Red Fox. He wants rifles and ammunition and scalps. Nothing I said could change his mind about that. If you want to save your own, you better come with me.
All right, I'll get a horse saddled.
Hey, what's that big white stallion doing out there?
That's Silver.
Silver?
Yeah. And the Lone Ranger is lying on the ground beside him. Dead.
You mean it?
Came riding up about 2 hours ago. I was afraid he'd warn Russell about Red Fox, so I let him have it.
Did anybody see
him? Ah, just a kid. Got him bound and gagged over my wagon.
Oh, hear you?
Sure. A few of them woke up. Told him I saw a coyote.
Are you positive the Lone Ranger's dead?
He hasn't moved for 2 hours. We'll take a look before we leave. I can't shoot again, or I'll wake the camp, and the Indian attack won't come off as a surprise. If that Lone Ranger is still alive, I'll use the butt of my rifle. Oh,
hurry up.
Kill him.
A few minutes later, Crosby and Hook rode away from the encampment and headed for the top of the rise. Silver saw them coming and ranged himself in front of his fallen master.
Oh, hold it, folks.
The two men dismounted and started toward the great white stallion.
Silver reared on his hind legs, his silver hoofs flashing in the moonlight. He screamed his defiance.
That wild horse won't let us get near him.
Yeah, don't matter. We can see he's done for. Let's get out of here before that cayuse wakes the camp. Stay for him.
Get up! The two men mounted and rode away. Silver turned once more to the Lone Ranger. Gently, he nuzzled him. The masked man opened his eyes and moved his head slightly. Once more, Silver nuzzled him, and the Lone Ranger raised a weak hand to pat his neck.
Good boy.
Silver moved so that his master could reach one of the stirrups, and a moment later, the masked man made the effort. He grasped the stirrup and rested. Then, little by little, he raised himself to his feet.
Oh, boy. Can't mount. None.
Silver obeyed the command and carefully lowered himself to the ground. The Lone Ranger grasped the pommel and pulled himself into the saddle, but he was unable to sit upright. He whispered to Silver.
Up, boy. Up. On. On to the camp.
Silver's whinnies had wakened young Bill Harvey, but he thought they came from one of the horses in the train's cavvy. He found it impossible to sleep, though, and so he climbed out of his wagon.
Huh. I wonder where Crosby is. Crosby?
What's the matter, Bill?
Crosby's supposed to be standing guard, John. I don't see him anywhere.
Have you tried his wagon?
No, I will.
Wait a minute, I'll come with you. For some reason, I can't sleep.
When the two men reached the wagon, they looked inside.
Not in here.
Hey, there's something under that top pole. Huh? Something alive.
Buddy.
I'll get him loose.
Thanks, Bill.
Who did this?
Crosby.
Why, that dirt...
Bill, when you heard that shot, it wasn't any coyote. It was the Lone Ranger.
What are you saying?
Crosby shot him. I saw him fall at the top of the rise about 100 yards from camp. Then Crosby hit me over the head to keep me from yelling.
You all right now, buddy?
Oh, sure.
Then let's go, John. After the masked man.
I'm right with you.
Same here.
But as the men rounded the wagon, they saw the great white stallion walking slowly toward them. The still form of his master slumped over the pommel of the saddle. They hurried toward him.
Is he still alive?
He must be. I'll give you a hand with the bill.
Yeah. It's all right.
I can stand with a little help. My wagon, Bill. We'll bandage his wound there.
Are you sure you can walk?
Yes. What time is it? About 2:30. Indians. Red Fox, get ready. I think they'll attack tonight.
You came to warn us.
Yes.
And Crosby shot you. Now he's gone. I'll bet any money he's back of this somehow.
Hurry, buddy. Get everybody up. We've got to get ready.
Roll out of your blankets, Red Indian!
Come on.
Indian!
When the Lone Ranger's wound had been bandaged, though still very weak, he took charge of the preparations for the attack. And finally, when there was nothing to do but wait, he talked to the men.
If any of you are afraid at a moment like this, don't be ashamed of it. You have plenty of ammunition, and now that the barricades under the wagons are finished, you have plenty of cover. I want to warn you that when you first see the Comanches come over the rise, you think you don't have a chance. There'll be 200 of them. But we do have a chance if we hold out. Tonto's bringing the troops from Fort Kearney. I can't tell you when they'll be here,
the
but...
The Indians!
Here they come!
To your post, men. Open fire! Open fire!
The savages swept down on the circle of wagons and then swung around it until the train was completely surrounded. The men in the enclosure fought desperately, firing, reloading, firing again until their rifles were red hot. The Lone Ranger seemed to be everywhere, encouraging them. No longer a man wounded and weak, but a tower of strength.
You've been hit, Lee.
Just caught my arm, mister. I can still shoot with my left hand.
Good boy.
The men fought well, but the Indians began to close in. Tighter and tighter, they drew their chain of fire around the camp.
Yes, man. That's Crosby fighting with them.
Yes. The renegade who brought them here.
Oh, that's shooting, mister. You hit them both.
Though Crosby and Hook went down, wounded by the Lone Ranger's accurate shooting, the battle kept on, gaining in fury every minute. And now the dawn had come. The men looked to the east. When would the soldiers come? It seemed they could hold out no longer. And then, clear in the distance, the clarion call of the bugle sounding the charge. The Indians had drawn their circle tight around the train, and as the cavalry swept over the rise, with Tonto and the colonel at the head of the column, they drew a larger circle around the Indians. The savages were caught between two fires. The battle reached its terrible climax, and then Red Fox shouted his surrender. An hour later, with Crosby and Martin taken prisoner along with the surviving Indians, the troop started back to the fort, and the wagon train prepared to move on across the prairie.
Well, there's nothing to stop us now, mister.
I'm sure of that, John.
Get those wagons rolling, men!
Nothing did stop the train. 2 weeks later, as John Russell, Bill, and Buddy rode at its head, they saw the town of Denver ahead, and what seemed to be an army of men streaming down the trail toward them.
Well, the miners are coming out to meet us.
Well, listen to them cheer.
What are those sacks they're holding up?
Gold dust.
They're ready to pay any price for food.
Well, they'll only charge fair prices. Share what we have among them. Let's see, if we, the masked man, would want it.
Oh, they'll sure be thankful.
We can't accept their thanks, Bill. We'll have to tell them that all the credit for our being here goes to the Lone Ranger.
This is a feature of The Lone Ranger Incorporated, created and produced by George W. Trendle, directed by Charles D. Livingston, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of The Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer.